Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West. The Black Panther movie review.
Woo! Or should we say,
woo? Right?
Yeah.
I kind of missed out.
Before we get into anything, we're going to do, structurally, we're going to kind of bounce around a bit and just quickly talk and then do our highs and our lows for the movie.
I feel like we all need to talk about our favorite character from the movie, though.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I want to say, going back to one of the earliest episodes of Capes and Scowls West.
Oh, shit.
Dora Milaje. Mm. I had it right whole time. I was very excited about this when they said it in the movie.
Did we actually have an argument about
it? We didn't have an argument. We had a discussion during one of the Black Panther reviews because you, me, and Leander could not figure out, like, is it Dora Milaje? Is it Dora Milaje? Is it...
Yeah.
So, yep. This was before my time.
This was before your time.
Yeah. When Cat was still just a twinkling in our eyes.
Yes.
The before Cat phase. I don't know about it.
Yes. So I guess if you haven't figured it out yet, if you haven't figured out yet, we all saw Black Panther, and surprise, we have lots of things to say about it. So
yeah.
With that being said, let's just mention some of our favorite parts of the one of the best
Okoye!
Movies ever.
Okoye!
Okoye.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Okoye.
I don't know. I'm just going to say any woman in any part of that movie could probably bust your face in half by looking at you.
It's like, you know what's funny is I just went into, like, so total fanboy mode, and I'm like, it'd be really sweet to see Wonder Woman fight Okoye. And I'm like, yeah, but they wouldn't fight.
Yeah.
Nope.
They'd be like, let's go spar, and then, like, you know, like, hang out together for a while.
Let's be best friends.
Yeah,
and I'm
exactly.
Like, that's a friendship I want to be a part of.
Right? Seriously.
Yeah.
I don't even need to be your friend. Can I just, like, stand behind
this,
you?
Like, this goes into the other fanboy argument, is Batman versus Black Panther. It's like, once again, they wouldn't be fighting each other. It'd be a lot of defensive stancing, and then they're like, let's talk about how we win every other fight together.
Yeah.
Let's beat the shit out of everybody else.
Yeah.
Sound
yeah.
good?
Yeah. Yeah, the, I think Kat showed it, yeah, the Black Panther versus uh-huh. Batman thing. Like, they would both just be standing there, like, ready to fight for, like, 20 minutes.
Right, exactly.
And then they'd be like, let's go get lunch, I guess.
I asked somebody what they thought their favorite character in Black Panther was, and they're like, this is a cheap answer, but Wakanda? And it's like, yeah, you're probably right.
That's fair.
That vibranium is weaved into the infrastructure of
It makes
country.
It a whole other environment, which I just realized when I was thinking about it. I don't actually know much, I don't know much about geography in general. I'm like, I know USA, kinda, not
right.
really. But, like, Africa standpoint, like, they had mountains, like, mountains so high that they actually received snow in Africa, and I don't know if that's an actual thing.
That is true, well, especially where they're at, Mount Kilimanjaro, is actually really close in the real world to where Wakanda is, which is a snow cavern.
Well, that's the
because
thing.
It's supposed to be right there by Lake Victoria.
Well, okay. The other thing, too, is it
which
made
is
me
a
question.
Very, very tropical, very, like,
it made
mountains
me question
and,
how
and, like,
big
rainforest.
Wakanda is in general to have that many different environments.
It's not too terribly big, but in that part of Africa it's in, you don't need to have a very big country. Mm-hmm. Or at least, like, in the real world geography, mm-hmm. if you look at, like, pictures of countries in that region, you don't need to have a very big country to have that diverse of a, like...
They did some really interesting stuff, too, because you have the, like, central Wakanda. I don't know if they actually named the Golden City movie. It is named
we'll
in
about,
the...
We will talk about misnaming, or not, no-name things in here in a minute.
Yeah, right? when we talk about some of the few lows in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that there was an outer area of farming still, like, a presence of Wakanda... to the real world, that were like those people were still fully aware and fully integrated into Wakandan society when, you know, like the ships fly overhead, they're like waving going, mm-hmm. hey, you know, welcome back. And but that was like the outskirts of Wakanda still, and you have, you know, the vibranium bubble, let's call it, that they passed through.
Well, that was the
I
thing is
like
they mentioned in the beginning how it changed the environment, so I wondered if it caused it to grow mountain ranges and stuff like that. So I wasn't sure because I'm like, I don't even know geographically where the hell Wakanda Wakanda is supposed to be.
Yeah, that was, you enlightened me on that one. I wasn't sure, like, where that's.
Well, because, like, it, I mean, in the comics it has, it's a different name, the big lake that it borders on.
Okay.
But that's supposed to be Lake Victoria. But, yeah, no, from the whole movie, I got a very, like, Star Trek feel from it. Like, it's this future civilization, but then, like, in the few episodes when they go back to Earth and stuff, like, especially, oh. like, the Next Generation, you have, like, Patrick Stewart, Jean-Luc Picard, like, farming his, like, family vineyard.
Yeah.
And then, you know, going back, it's still, like, you know, massively in the future, but, like, it's, like, this weird utopian, it's very, very Star Trek-y, like, this very utopian futuristic society that's very strongly, holds on to tradition and past things and uses that. I don't know. It's a very, very interesting dynamic.
And they brought
it out very well in the film, too, especially, I think, with, like, design and clothing.
Well, the biggest part of that movie, and even the director himself says it, a lot of it is a battle between tradition and innovation. Mm-hmm. It's a constant battle.
Well, yeah, okay, so to Patrick's point, it's interesting that this is a... In the guise of, you know, the political battle that it is and the tradition versus the change, it's a science fiction film,
mm-hmm.
which is a science fiction superhero film. So there's several layers to the genre, in quotes, of what it is.
This is going to sound super stupid. Probably not, but super nerd. Like, I want a legitimate book based on the physics of all of the technology that they use. Straight up all of
them. Oh, I would, yeah, like the technology of Wakanda as written by Shuri.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, does Wakanda have a university? Are you accepting applicants?
You could go to the
science what is the name of the place that's going to be in Oakland at the end of the film?
Oh, yeah, I forget. But actually, in the comics, Miss Marvel's longtime friend leaves Jersey City and goes to Wakanda Polytech or something.
That's
like
awesome.
I'd be there.
I don't know that smart enough to be there.
That's basically like Yale times 40.
Yeah.
See, and that's all I want in life.
all right, I'm going to push us into just like each one individually talking about our highs and lows. I'm going to go ahead and start off because you made the point of the tradition versus change. Is the music of Black Panther because there's a lot of the African tribal music as the score, but there's this beautiful hip hop album that had been cut. And up until the point that Killmonger takes power, the only time you hear that music is when it is an actual background element. It is something that they play in the club. It is something that is played out of the car stereos.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Killmonger takes power, the drum beats shift and it becomes the hip-hop music from the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I thought, was a really interesting choice because you've blended score with soundtrack in a way that works and feels part of the story.
See, now I'm just singing all the songs in my head.
Yeah. It's great. So that was a super big high for me. Obviously, the Shuri, Okoye, all the ladies were just phenomenal in this
movie. Every woman in Wakanda could kick your
ass. Yeah, they're so great.
Even his mom. I mean, the actress for her, because I just remember the one scene where I think they're all in the throne room. I don't remember who it was or when it was exactly, but she has had like a sleeveless number going on, and the actress herself is like actually ripped. That woman got some guns on her.
Angela Bassett, man.
Yes.
Yeah. While we're at that, how about the casting for Black Panther? From top to bottom, one of the best cast films, not just superhero films, just one of the best cast films ever. Great to see Andy Serkis's face in a movie. It's not right. Like a CG character. And Chadwick Boseman.
He's a fucking sociopath in that movie.
He's perfect. Chadwick Boseman, you know, I try to be a Zen personality, and Black Panther T'Challa is just this such an idealized character for me and that performance. So.
I feel like one of the great things that especially Chadwick Boseman captures about the Black Panther is like a lot of times the superheroes are these larger than life like people for all these different reasons, especially like their moral ideologies and all this stuff. but it didn't seem untenable in this film. Like, it was very much like, I understand, like, I'm never going to be able to be, like, as amazing as that. But, like, it didn't seem like this sort of, like, Superman-esque thing where you're like, that's just an unreasonable, like, standard of human kind of deal.
Well, Superman's not human, so we'll just go there. Yeah.
But you know what I mean.
No.
All right, Patrick, what was your highs for Black Panther?
Okay, so
I'm gonna
love
it.
Yeah, this is,
get it
this
all
is
in.
Where I, this is where I break out the PowerPoint, basically.
He's like, you've got this
long time,
2.5 minutes.
So long-time listeners will know that I'm quite the literary nerd. There's an idea in literary criticism of post-colonialism in which you analyze text from the perspective of colonialism, obviously. So this mainly focuses on viewing a culture either through the lens of a conquering people or from the lens of the conquered people trying to recapture themselves. And this is very much a subtly mentioned throughout the movie. But if we look into the actual execution of this film, it totally turns this idea on its head, being that Wakanda is a nation that would have been colonized by the Europeans had it not been so successfully isolationist, I guess.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, the whole moral plot in it is whether or not they should send out their technology to help oppress black people around the world rise up against their oppressors. So this is a film that shows the people that would be oppressed having a conflicting idea of whether or not they should become the oppressors to uplift the oppressed people around the world. And I could really get into all the subtleties of this, but I think just the way that the film turned that theory over on its head was probably for me the best part of it.
Well, the one thing I could say that I appreciated about that is Killmonger was like, he was, as it was put in a couple things that I read, is he was like the far, 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 way, way, way over there social justice guy. Like, I mean, it made me draw, like, the way that it, I don't know if they did it on purpose, and they probably did, the way that it made me draw is you have Malcolm X over here and Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Luther King is always saying, be better than the people who are doing this to you. You don't want to be them. Mm-hmm. And then you have Malcolm X saying, no, do whatever you can to get them out of your way. So that I can, and of course I always view, I'm like, always be better than the people who are throwing things in your face.
Yeah.
This movie is just in conversation, how layered the film in and of itself is through its dialogue. And this is ultimately an action movie, you know, like at its core.
Sci-fi action movie.
Yeah. And to have this level of conversation about, you know, post-colonial theory and to figures in black history that made a huge impact on society.
I've heard a lot of people make the Malcolm X, Martin Luther.
That was the most obvious one that you can see, though, because you have Killmonger who's like, we could rule them. And I'm like, what?
But I think, and especially like going off of Killmonger for a second, as far as villains in quotation marks go in superhero movies, I would say he is easily one of the best, mostly because he's not there to destroy the world and enslave the human race.
I don't know about that one, because he wanted, the way that he was portrayed in the movies, he wanted to flip everything on its head and have Wakanda rule.
Well, but he didn't want to explicitly do that by killing everybody. He said by whatever means necessary. Yeah, if it turns violent, it will. But like, his goal wasn't to destroy Europeans. Can we
highlight the fact that this is a self-contained film? Like, Yeah. As part of the greater Marvel Cinematic Universe, this movie is just watchable unto itself.
Oh, yeah, easily. Aside from the very end credits scene, I don't think that they even referenced any other...
Everett Ross. Everett Ross and Claw are the only actual, like, internal connections to the other Marvel films. Mm-hmm. And you could easily just introduce those characters the way that they did in the movie and have no previous system.
Where did Claw come in?
Claw was in Age of Ultron. His arm was cut off by Ultron in that film.
Oh, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. Kat, highlights for the movie for you.
I mean, he got to say his deep theme, but that's the other part of it is on an equality-based level, like gender equality. Holy shit. I was more terrified of the women in that movie than I was of any man. And they had literal dudes who were like 7 feet tall.
Man, the Dora, they're a powerful group.
Well, that's the thing is, they're like, Okoye, you're the strongest warrior here. And I'm just like, goddamn right she is. Jump up your ass. but on a gender equality level, and even the director himself brought it up, I'm pretty sure any woman in any tribe could whoop anyone's ass. I'm like, even if you're 9 feet tall, they're like, I'll just take you. I don't care. I don't even need the spear. I'll still kick your ass. Yeah. Like, I just remember the old, I think she's in the merchant tribe, the old woman from the merchant tribe. Don't want to fuck with her either. But, like, on a gender equality based level, that said a lot to me. It was really nice. Like,
the whole scene in the casino with Okoye's wig.
Oh, the wig scene.
Well,
that
no, so he,
is so funny.
I can never remember the director's name.
Ryan Coogler.
So Ryan Coogler, even specifically in the video I watched, talked about that. Because in her mind, I just remember when they're, I just want to take this ridiculous thing off. What? Whip it back and forth.
That was so funny.
And she's just like, what?
And then she quite literally throws it in
the guy's face. So he was talking about how Okoye is very traditionalist. She's very traditional. And her wearing that wig is actually, like, disgusting to her because she's hiding her warrior tattoos, basically. Because she has the, which I really wanted a close-up of that at some point so I could see the entire design.
Yeah.
Never got my wish.
An art book for this is probably going to
be cool. I would suggest that. But
she looked really weird with the wig on, too.
She did.
Like, right?
Like, that whole scene, I don't know if it's the wig that they used or, like, the lighting that it's in.
I
but the whole time, she, like, you can feel her
well,
discomfort.
And they did a really interesting thing because they paired her with Nakia.
So the other thing that I kind of talked about too is there's a lot of color-based stuff in here that I feel like no one's really going to notice. And a lot of the times what I always noticed is you had Nakia who was always wearing green and you always had Okoye wearing red all the time.
The colors of the door.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. I never thought about
that. Well, and the other thing is they mentioned in that fight scene you had T'Challa who was wearing an all-black suit and it's supposed to be the colors of, oh my god, I can't even think what it's called.
Kind of African.
Yeah.
Ism.
Yeah. They're talking about that, but the other thing is too is after watching that video and seeing the movie a second time, Nakia is always wearing green.
Really?
Like when, except for the last fight scene where she's in her like ridiculous armor, like her not ridiculous as in it's ridiculous, but ridiculous is like, oh my god, that's so awesome looking.
Right.
That's the only time she's wearing red. Otherwise, she's usually wearing green.
That's interesting.
And then Okoye.
Well, that's a story point then, because at that point in time, she accepts the fact that she will be defending Wakanda in that moment.
Mm-hmm. And then you've got Okoye, who is always wearing red.
She's always the stalwart.
Even in the casino scene, she's wearing a red dress.
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful red dress, and the whole car sequence. Holy shit! That is like a breathtaking action scene with one of the funniest silent moments. In the movie, when the car just literally disintegrates, and Nakia is still in the chair with the hands on the steering wheel, and it's just a look that the two of each other, they give each other.
And of course, you've got Okoye who's on top of the car, who, because she's a crazy, insane beast, finds her spear, jabs it into the top of the hood of the car, and slides all the way down with her spear in the actual ground to a stop.
Yep.
You've got Nakia who comes up in the driver's seat next to her, and they're like...
I think this movie definitely took a lot out of, like, Thor Ragnarok's, like, book just for timing and, like, dialogue delivery.
Yes, this movie is funny because... people are honest because it's real. Like, the comedy isn't the forefront of the film. The film is actually very serious in tone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But just in natural comedic moments, the natural family elements between T'Challa and Shuri, just, like, they felt like brother and sister. Mm-hmm. They really, like, egged each other on. Can we talk about the fact that Shuri set up a joke, literally, like, lobbed the shot at the audience. Mm-hmm. We're like, we're going to tell you a joke right now with the vibranium suit, and pulls a camera out. We as audience members know exactly what is going to happen in that moment, and we still laughed.
Yeah.
So it's like
the research purposes.
With the
suit. When he
kicks the suit. Yeah, when he kicks the suit the first time.
Oh, yeah.
And then she releases it for him on the second time, and she's, why are you recording this? Research purposes.
Yeah. Literally, it's the batter holding the bat and swinging it around like, we're going to hit this one. You know, exactly.
Same with, like, the shoes joke, too. Like, oh, it's God. Delivered exactly. We'll and see. You know that she's going to make some kind of pun.
I call them sneakers.
They're shoes that make no sound. I call them, yeah, and then you're like, all right, what's the pun going to be? Sneakers. Oh, my God, that's amazing.
And I was just shaking my head in that moment. I'm like, that was one of those perfect, like, dad jokes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the other part of this movie is, too, is what I kind of noticed is, the smartest woman there is not only a young female, but it's once again a female, and mm-hmm. she's like, yeah, I figured out a way how to transport vibranium at high speed so it wouldn't kill everybody. And I'm like, all right. And then you've got the strongest warrior is a female. His entire royal guard is female, and they beat, and there's like seven of them, and they take on an army of dudes.
That's
and
true.
And the reason half of them got their ass kicked is because a rhino literally hit them.
Nice.
Yeah,
it's true. It's a
and that's the other part.
Armored rhinos.
Armored rhinos.
Is that female guard after they lost one of their own, which was pretty heartbreaking, actually. I remember that, and I was just like, yeah. They actually took Killmonger down, too. The only reason he got away is because he had that excess...
Yeah, he had the...
He was storing
the kinetic energy.
He had the ability to store all that kinetic energy. Otherwise, they would have had... He would have been dead. And that's the... And I'm like, T'Challa couldn't beat him, but they sure as hell just... Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's 3-1, but he's also wearing a ridiculous high-tech suit. And now he has superpowers on top of that. And three normal women kick his ass.
All right, so we're going to move into...
I had is I feel like mentioned at all, like there were, like, I know T'Challa's name because you heard his name all the damn time, but Okoye, I think the second most, and I feel like her name was mentioned maybe 7 times. His sister was like twice. Kia's name was mentioned quite a few times too, but other than that, I don't think you ever heard his mom's name. I didn't get the name of any of the leaders of the other tribes, except for...
M'Baku.
Yeah, besides him, but, like, the tribes who sit on his council and everything. What the hell's his name?
The tribal elders.
Friend's name. I can't think of his friend's name now either.
Yeah, Forrest Whitaker's character who...
I can't even think of who the names weren't really mentioned, and for me, that's, like, driving me fucking crazy because... I'm like, they're characters I don't know their names. And then, so I can't also visualize seeing the character themselves. And then on top of that, they're very foreign names.
Right.
So that already makes it harder for me because, and I'm going to admit it, different names.
Yeah. And you know what? That is.
Because I don't want to mispronounce it because I know how fucking irritating the name is pronounced all the time.
Yeah, you and I have very difficult names.
Yeah. So. Yours is a lot more difficult than mine, but everybody's like, your name's Katrina. No, it's not.
Yeah, there's a writing element to that. Like, do you want to say the names? But
well, no, I get that. But I feel like even for a movie like that, I feel like their names weren't mentioned that often. Like his sister, I feel like you got her name once or twice.
Yeah, sure. It was
wasn't very much though. So that was like driving me insane because I can't put a name I can put the face, but I can't put the name because it's a very foreign name. I don't want to mispronounce it, and I feel like I've heard it once or twice. And like I said, I don't know his mom's name.
They did at least once.
So how positive of a movie is it that one of your criticisms is that you don't have characters that you really like?
No, honestly,
I want to talk about how awesome they are and I care about their name.
Exactly. That's why I'm frustrated. It's like angry fanboys. I'm like, I don't know. I'm fuck.
What about the general. Okay, what about you, Nat?
So these are going to be super nitpicky, and it's because no movie's perfect.
I will mention one thing. I am not a seamstress, but my girlfriend is. The one thing she said to me and made a jacket for me, so, I mean, girl knows what she's doing. It was mentioned to me that the costume design was beautiful, but apparently the execution wasn't as good as it could have been, is what I was told. It looked to me in saying that some of the fabrics weren't laying quite right, like that. So, and honestly, I know for a normal moviegoer, that's not going to be something that's noticed, but for someone like her, who's like, she made me a jacket and makes a ton of, sews her own cosplay, is going to notice shit like that.
Yeah.
So,
I guess the word is, because none of us noticed that at all.
Yeah.
If you are a designer, seamster/ress.
So the other part that comes into play with, so you'll probably see that. The other thing that comes into play is the head designer who created all the costumes. She said she had finanas and everything like that, but she also has a bunch of sewing grunts under her. So,
Ricky Carter.
Yeah, so she apparently did a great job in designing them. It's just the execution is where it fell.
I'm not a seamstress, and personally, from a design perspective, it might be the most beautiful superhero movie ever made, it's going to be up there just in design in general.
And she was also kind of disappointed in the fact that the Black Panther suit was, which I can understand.
Black Panther suit was animated when the characters themselves were animated, not when the suit was on T'Challa.
Really?
It's an actual suit. They actually have stuntmen wearing the different costumes. They're real. Those are suits.
Yeah, the only time they had it animated was flying through the air from car to car and
the
like
full characters.
Excuse me while I run across this ways as my car gets blown up.
Here are my negatives. Some of the CG didn't work as well as the end of the film. And although I love Eric Killmonger as a character, this is just a general criticism of the genre, is it still ended up being the reflection character. You still ended up having basically an evil Black Panther versus the Panther, which I don't necessarily mind. It just, we have to at least bring that up in comedy because everybody talks so high about Killmonger. That still is where we are with the storytelling formula. So I'm a dark Doctor Strange apologist, and that's what that movie is as well. So it's just superhero tropes for the first films that they seem to do that story where it is the dark reflection character. It's just, we're seeing that again.
Yeah, I think at least philosophically, they at least had a very strong
reason
grounding in him.
Oh, and he's a fantastic character, and Michael B. Jordan, we can't talk negatively about his performance. Fantastic.
Well, I think a lot of the things that I've been seeing is Killmonger is the first villain in a long time in the MCU universe that people actually thought he was a legitimate villain and everything. Or, like, he was
he's grounded.
One of the best villains there were.
Grounded, his story is believable, and he is an empathetic character, and that allows the story to do the
does
at the end.
I wouldn't even say just in the MCU. I mean, like, thinking about in this superhero in general.
Yeah.
I'm hard pressed to think of a villain who's as grounded and as to an audience as maybe.
So the other thing is
limited screen time that he has, he's not introduced until like 20 some odd minutes into the film. He's introduced as a secondary villain. He still has enough story points through the conversation, which is the highlight of this movie, is how well written. Through conversation that we figure out as the people in the film figure out the backstory is, and you feel for him.
So the other part is too, is they had the common story of the son making up for the mistakes of the father too.
But that was T'Challa's story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess Killmonger takes it in the wrong direction.
I guess going back to the villains thing, like, I'm trying to sit there and think of, like, a superhero movie that's well played out, the only thing, like, I keep drawings to, like, joke, like, Dark Knight Joker is for me. And then, like, maybe Batman vs. if they didn't have the third act of that film with Darkseid coming in as just the big bad who's going
to... Oh, the Doomsday thing?
Or Doomsday, yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, not Darkseid.
Just going to lay on the floor for a while if we're
going to
talk about
so,
that.
No, I'm not going to.
Thank you.
This is going to be an unpopular opinion. I actually prefer Killmonger because he's more fleshed out, and I don't necessarily...
I don't think you can...
love that joke as much as most people
I think
do.
A lot of times Joker is a very archetypal...
You can't really compare...
Especially villain, whereas Killmonger is
Killmonger
like a normal
has a past,
person
though.
Who just has a different...
Yeah.
Who just has a different philosophy.
Like, you can't compare the two because Killmonger has a past and he's built from his past, whereas Joker is just... He's there.
Yeah, I guess Joker is designed to be an archetype. It's supposed to be like what happens with the chaos, whereas Killmonger is empathy. We look at somebody and we can see where his motivations are. So, Patrick, then, what were your negative?
I think, like, the only negative I can really think of is, like, once again, a very nitpicky... this is going to be, like, very nitpicky. One, when the Dora Milaje, there was no blood. On the blade.
That might be a rating thing.
I understand it's a Disney movie and it has to be PG-13, blah, blah, blah. Totally understood that. That kind of very small stuff gets me in movies. Not saying I'm like blood squirting all this stuff.
There was almost no blood in any element of the film, though.
Yeah,
they're like breathing because he just elbowed me in the nose, and I'm like, I feel like your face should just okay.
As far as like, I think the music in it was phenomenal. As far
I was
as
so
like
excited
the
when Kendrick Lamar's songs popped up, and yes, they noise, but I was like, I didn't know they were gonna be in the movie.
I was really excited about that too. As far as Black Panther's theme goes, it's a little not memorable. I guess, like me, I'm saying it in my head just because I remember oh man, I wish it was a little bit.
I don't remember.
Like, you can't really transpose it into a lot of other like instruments because, like, for instance, modern theme, very great, very memorable. Awesome. You can transpose it into different instrumentation.
Mm-hmm.
The Black Panther is like, I hope they try to do it in other things, but I don't see it being anything other than like a big bar.
Yeah.
Well, I really like, that was the thing too, is I don't remember his theme at all. I remember Killmonger's theme because it's fucking awesome, but that's
I'm
all
curious if the Black Panther theme was actually in Civil War, so they kind of enhanced a song that didn't work.
Oh.
I shouldn't say didn't work, but it isn't as John Williams-y as we'd like.
Yeah, exactly. Think that's like, thank you, John Williams, for like putting movie score standards.
Right.
The
classical way of writing each character has a theme, weave the background element theme, weave the theme into the scene.
And then I think the only other downside I would say to the film is sort of like a gnat is that it did sort of end up just being like a fight between Black Panther, like Nega Black Panther.
Right.
And I would have much preferred to just me being like such an unbelievable lit nerd. I would have much rather have just them like had like a debate.
Oh my god! Yeah. I was like, is he gonna say debate? He's gonna say debate.
Yeah.
He's gonna say
no,
he said
I know.
Debate.
But like, it was like they kind of extended the fight, which was really badass
in the
train thing, and I really enjoyed it, but like I thought it was kind of a little unnecessary.
I guess in the back of my mind I'm like, how did he beat him for a second time? Now he's super powered up and beaten the literal shit out of him.
He used Shuri's technology.
He's Black Panther, like that's his thing. Like he's if he gets beaten the if he gets beaten in time, he always like figures out exactly where he went wrong.
Yeah, and he uses his
that just might be for me just one of those things that I don't quite understand.
He was more better tactician, but T'Challa was a better. He was, and he waited for an intuitive moment to to break the armor, literally. He waited for that where he could do a move that was not a tactical move, but a balletic move, something that is going to be out of the range of common thought so that it's a surprise element. And that's what he used. Because I think he realized at that point in time that he was not physically as strong as longer. So
see, that was the thing that kind of hit me too. And I think the other part of it is too, is that he literally had right before the Black Panther showed up, he just had three women almost take him down and have him actually with their spears all around his. So I'm like, he's probably a little winded after having the shit kicked out of him by the Royal Guard.
Yeah,
that's what it was. He was as beat down as he is going to get in that scenario. Not that I didn't have to run through an army that was, raising shields and had rhinos coming out.
Seven
women just took and like they lost half of them because they were literally hit by a rhino.
So we're in that final thoughts phase then, and just this is for me it's a MCU film over the greater like superhero genres are in my. Overall film rating. I don't have to see it multiple times, stand up to multiple viewings, but it's a definite piece of art.
I'd actually say because you start to pick out.
Many movies to see for me to be like, I'm going to watch Black Panther a second time.
See, that's where you're wrong. Still February, you have time.
No, Annihilation and Game Night are out this week, and then March is with movies coming out.
All right. You're making these all excuses.
Patrick, final thoughts?
Thoughts? I would definitely put this as, I'm hard pressed to think of an MCU film that tops it. And as far as like superhero movies go in general, I would say it's up there in my top three.
Kat?
So.
Honestly, with Marvel movies, I'd say it's gonna be the one that's probably gonna be the most memorable for me. So it's gonna end up being number one because I think back to all the other movies and am I right? I don't remember half of them. So that says a lot. And like I said, you have a gender equality thing. So now you have, once again, you now have little girls. And not on top of that, you also have little female black girls who are like, I can be that smart chick. I can be the chick who's whooping someone's ass.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's a little bit like Wonder Woman all over again. It's like,
its impact on the general populace is going for a long time.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, like I said, Marvel movie-wise, I don't know if it could top Wonder Woman, mostly because of the era that Wonder Woman was placed in, but it's definitely sitting, for Marvel, it's number one, because it's the most memorable, and it's the one I want to remember the most. And then, like, movie, like, actual, like, superhero movie-wise, it's like, one and a half.
All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up. Hopefully you didn't listen to this before watching the movie. Spoiler review in the tagline.
If you listen to the mini episode entitled Black Panther Review, whatever it ends up being titled, you're only doing yourself a disfavor.
I will say on one last, I want to see his sister be Lady Panther. I'm just saying.
they can set it up that she can take over. Well, anyway. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you in the movie theater.
Yeah, definitely. Not in a creepy way, though.
Yeah.
Bye.